Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR, and we hope you had a great weekend. And by we, I mean our panel here, including Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be back.
Back from Texas. Went to the Patriot Academy out there.
That's right.
Last week to speak. Let me get to that in just a minute. But Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Had a great weekend.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What was one thing that happened over the weekend that...
Just made my weekend?
Yeah. It was memorable.
Got the oil changed on the car.
Productive.
That does qualify. It's the simple things in life that make it worth living.
Yeah.
Changing the oil in the car. You changed the oil or you took it to have it changed?
I took it to have it changed, but the mechanic came back and said, basically, the car's in really good shape. We can't do anything else for you. So
that's what the doctor told you a few weeks ago, too,
That's right. Yeah, that was really important.
You're on a roll, brother.
Yeah. Basically, your heart's good and you shouldn't be back to see me for a while.
And so's the fuel pump on your car.
That's right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Fred's doing good. Walker, you went out to Patriot Academy in Austin, Texas. They had an event out there. What is Patriot Academy?
Yeah, Patriot Academy has been going on now for about 16, 17 years.
Right.
Started by Rick Green out of Texas. He was a former House representative in the state legislature there. And he also helps out some with David Barton of Wall Builders, which many of our listeners would know. But Rick Green and Patriot Academy, they train students ages 16 to 25. They train them in the Constitution, the history of our country, and the biblical impact on government and policy.
And how to run for office, too, right?
That's right.
How to pass laws, right?
That's right. So they train students for a week out of the summer. Each summer, they have five or six regional academies across the country. So it goes on throughout the entire summer, but each academy lasts a couple of days. And so I went out to Texas, Austin, Texas, the capital there, spoke, visited with students, a lot of AFR supporters out there.
Amen. So if people want information, maybe they want to consider their teenager going to a Patriot Academy, maybe too late this summer, but next summer, how do they find out more about it?
If you want to go next summer, you can just visit patriotacademy.com.
Okay.
Patriotacademy.com and look for the dates will be released for next year for 2019, the summer.
So different places around the country.
That's right.
Okay. And is it a 1 week?
It's about camp? 3 to 4 days.
Okay. Camp is would be considered a camp.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Well, good to have you back. What was your talk called?
I talked about what I called the four creatures of the swamp and how politicians and those in government use those four creatures, or they're actually institutions, to maintain power. They're the three branches of government, executive, judicial, and legislative. And then that would have been bad if I would have forgotten the three branches of government. And then the fourth institution is the media. So those four are used to maintain power.
Well, you need to get that talk and see if you can put that up on YouTube or something.
Yeah, I did a podcast on it.
Before it's taken down.
Two-episode podcast on it.
Okay. When?
About a month or two ago.
When can people go listen to that?
Yeah, if you go to AFR.net, which is our radio side of our website, AFR.net, you go to my podcast page, Exposing Washington, you can find that there.
Walker's show is called Exposing Washington, and you want to check that out. Fred, the breaking news here this morning is that Apple and, I guess, Facebook are going after a media talk person, Alex Jones. Would that be a fair characterization of Alex Jones, a media talk show host? What would you call it? The Alex Jones Show. The Alex Jones Show.
InfoWars, people probably remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
The InfoWars website.
Yeah.
Do you know what they've done to him, Ed?
Yeah, they have removed all of his podcasts. Apple has removed...
In the name of what?
Clamping down on hate. So Apple says that it has removed 5 out of 6 podcasts. Facebook has removed 4 pages controlled by Alex Jones that was on Facebook. And now Alex Jones is kind of one of those, he's controversial. He's a conspiracy theorist. He, one of his most controversial theories is that the Sandy Hook school shooting in 2012 was a hoax, and that it was perpetrated by those who want to, I think, snatch guns. And so some of his controversial content has been hit by YouTube and stuff like that. But now Apple has taken down entire libraries of InfoWar podcasts rather than just a select few episodes. By the way, just for contrast, I just did a search here, and Louis Farrakhan has all of his stuff up on Apple. You can get any of his podcasts. Mm-hmm. So
who promotes hatred against Jewish people?
Absolutely,
right,
and whites,
and homosexuals, and so he's okay, Louis Farrakhan, but Alex Jones. Now I'm going to say I'm not a big fan of Alex Jones. I think some of his stuff is way out there, and but we're getting to the place now where these huge tech companies that, my opinion, are getting close to being monopolizing the public square, are now saying, we'll determine what's hate, and we will determine what other people can access. Yeah. And I think this is an incredibly dangerous move by Apple and Facebook.
Yeah.
I guess classic liberalism's over.
Yeah, it's gone. Mm-hmm.
Alan Dershowitz has talked about this.
Yes.
I've seen him on Fox News. And by classic liberalism, I mean people like what the ACLU used to stand for. Now, they used to say that they stood for free speech for all, you know, no matter what position you have on issues. Now, nobody's saying you can, therefore, shouting fire in a crowded theater, you
right.
know, the old example here, or for using your free speech to threaten.
Right.
Threaten people physically. But liberalism, Fred, used to allow for anything, you know, because it's good for everybody to be heard in a society. And if you're out there, use quotations, so what? Then people can judge you for being out there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But when you get into judgment of what is hate speech, again, hate speech in quotations, being made by people at high tech industry, which are made up mostly all of liberals. Most all of them are liberals in Silicon Valley or New York or wherever they may be. Mm-hmm. Their view of hate is anything that conservatives stand for, which may hurt a given community that's part of the progressive crowd. I mean, if that makes sense.
No, that does make sense. I think we are on the doorstep, if not the door is open now, to say if you have a conservative point of view, let's say on the issue of abortion, we think that's oppressive, they say, of a woman's right. Therefore, we're going to call it hate speech.
Right.
That's where we are. And to flip it over, we had this example last week of the New York Times. In this woman that they hired, Sarah Jung,
This is unbelievable, even for the New York Times, what you're about to share.
Yeah, and last Thursday on this program, we just said they hired this woman, and we talked about what she has tweeted out. An example being, she tweeted out, "Oh man, it's kind of sick how much joy I get out of being cruel to old white men." So that's where we left the story last Thursday.
And a lot of stuff even worse than that.
Yes.
And I want to say right here now, that I was wrong, because I said on that show, I said, listen, they're going to have to fire her, because the stuff that she said, and I read a whole bunch of her stuff. I said, this is beyond the
pale. She's a rank racist.
She is a absolute racist. She hates men, okay?
White men.
She hates police, said all kinds of stuff about police, white men, and I said, they'll have to fire her. They cannot keep her as one of their editorial writers. So I was wrong.
Yep. And here's what happened Thursday afternoon and Friday. The New York Times came out and said, yeah, we're aware of what she tweeted. We reviewed that. And, you know, she was oppressed. You know, there were some people who wrote things about her, therefore justifying what she said about old white men
Asian.
And others.
Her last name is Jung.
Yeah.
So she's Asian. She took all kinds, quoting, this is what the New York Times is saying. She took all kinds of flack.
Yeah. So it's not that they were ignorant. They reviewed it in reviewing whether to hire her, and they said we're okay with that because she had an excuse.
Right.
Now, there was another writer, and I think Steve may get to this in the next hour, Steve Jordahl. There was another writer who basically changed it all around and just said, talked about old black women. And she said, I'm just going to replace those words and see what happens. And she was chastised for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was okay. And the New York Times felt it okay. She's now a honored member of the New York Times editorial team, despite the fact that they're aware of what she said. But to your point, other people saying other things of other races would be considered hate speech now. So that's where we are. We have this very subjectivity going on. What I feel is hate, therefore it is hate. And I don't like what the conservatives are saying.
Well, this New York Times example is why we all laugh when the left acts like they have some objective moral code that they live by and we should all live by.
Mm.
The fact is they don't care about morals. They don't care about whether people are racist or not, whether they live a sexually appropriate lifestyle or not. They don't care about any of that. They only care about things, morals, and punishing people for their immorality if it fits their narrative.
That's right.
And so they keep the racist girl on staff as an editor, but Roy Moore over in Alabama, he's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And President Trump's a racist too, and he's got to go.
Here's the thing. Now, there's a great deal of discussion, I'm sure, that's going to go on. It has been going on because Facebook, are they shadow banning conservatives, all the Diamond and Silk, you know, they get their pages taken down, two conservative black ladies. Outcry comes, they're forced to put it back up. But here's the problem. Now, obviously, Apple and Google and Facebook and some of these others are private companies. So ordinarily, we would say, well, private companies get to do what they want. Here's the problem. The old expression used to be, freedom of the press belongs to those who have one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a press, you can speak what you want. You can get your message out there. What's happening now is that these companies that are basically monopolizing the public square, Amazon's another one, I would say, they're monopolizing the public square. So it's like having a press and wanting to make your little newspaper, and you're being told you can print it, you just can't distribute it.
Yeah.
And what Facebook and Google and some of these others, Apple now with the podcast, what they're basically saying to Alex Jones is, yeah, you have your freedom of speech, but we're not going to allow you to get into the public square. I'm not sure these companies don't change some of our understanding of what monopolies mean and what it means to actually have freedom of speech. If you can't, if you have an iPhone, an Apple iPhone, and they say to me, Ed Vitagliano, you work at American Family Association, we're not going to allow you to text using one of our iPhones.
That's right.
Okay? You've got your freedom of speech, but we are going to stick a potato in the tailpipe. You can't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge problem for conservatives going forward.
Yep.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Eva Tagliano, Walker Wildman, and Fred Jackson. Thank you for listening to AFR. Speaking of Facebook and YouTube, so far we're still there. So check us out at Facebook, and we're live video streaming the show at Facebook and at YouTube. So just type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show live there. By the way, YouTube has not taken down Alex Jones as of yet, and I think they have a couple of his videos somewhere back, but they're not taking the same action as Facebook. The other thing is, unless somebody's making a physical threat or advocating those kinds of things, physical threats, if they're just promoting ideas, as crazy as some of the ideas may be, I don't see why you would take them down or why you would remove them.
But I think, Tim, stop and think for a moment. We've redefined what bullying is. When I went to school, bullying was some guy beating you up in the playground.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It was a physical altercation. Look at the cases of what's being called bullying now in our schools.
Right.
You said something that offended me. That's bullying. Mm-hmm. So we're redefining this whole issue to go to your point, you know, that you don't have to advocate physical violence against somebody. All you have to say is, I disagree.
Yeah, especially as it relates to the LGBT.
Yeah.
Or the Me Too movement, very serious issue that mm-hmm. is sexual abuse against women, which is real.
Yeah.
But then we've seen what's happened here with some, you just make a mere accusation
mm-hmm.
Today. But back to the, you don't even have to make a physical threat against somebody, and that's considered a hate speech. I noticed in Canada, mm-hmm. and which may be, this may be coming to America, but in Canada, your home country, Fred, they had a situation where a pastor was handing out Bible tracts yep. at a LGBT mm-hmm. parade,
mm-hmm.
and he was arrested.
That's right.
And fined.
It's not the first time. Pete right. LaBarbera, we're very familiar with him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He went up to Canada to help somebody out, and it was, again, an LGBT pride thing going on, and he was stopped at the airport. In Canada, and questioned about because he had books with him or something of that yeah. nature. So this
we don't want that kind of thing to come to America.
Well, exactly. this has already happened in America. It's happened in Dearborn, Michigan, with those two pastors. Remember,
yes.
who were outside of a Muslim gathering.
Yeah.
They got arrested, uh-huh. and now they finally won their court case. But
merely handing out Christian tracts.
Just mm-hmm. handing out Christian tracts, and they were arrested.
Yeah.
And it was quite a battle. Who knows how much money it cost them to go through this fight, but that went on for a couple of years.
Well, I would say, too, as part of a branch of that incident, here in this United States, the Baronelle Stutzman, bakers and the florists.
Yeah.
That's freedom of speech being yeah. tramped
yeah.
on there.
Yeah, yeah, I've always said that the best for these big companies, if they want to figure out the best way to go about this, you allow any speech – except that which is illegal speech, which is threatening one's life physically.
Or child pornography.
And other explicit content that's illegal by law, which is child pornography.
Right.
And if you want to delve a little bit into other pornography banning, other explicit images and messages, you can go down that route a little bit without infringing on folks' First Amendment rights. But once you get beyond that area... Mm-hmm. And you start defining hate. You expand your purview there and your rules. Then you're going to start yeah. banning a lot of things.
I think Ed had a good point there. You mentioned that you did a search for Facebook banning Louis Farrakhan, and they have not.
This was Apple.
Oh, Apple.
I wanted to see if Apple had.
My apologies, Apple.
Apple. I'm just looking at it right now. I just typed in Louis Farrakhan podcasts.
Yeah.
And it comes up here. So Apple allows Louis Farrakhan to have his podcast accessible mm-hmm. through Apple, but not Alex Jones.
I just don't know why they care about that. There must be somebody with a vendetta.
I think they get all kinds of pressure from yeah. the left, which is no longer, as you said, Tim, is no longer the classical liberal left. They're getting pressure from leftists. Progressives, whatever you want to call them.
Who want to control speech.
Who want to control speech.
All it takes is one person, one powerful person at a company like Facebook or Apple, and they see that Alex Jones, for example, is calling the Sandy Hook shooting in 2012 a conspiracy. Well, here's what they say. They don't say, well, we have a First Amendment. They say, I don't like that. That's offensive, and it's offensive to many people, so you just pull him down. He doesn't deserve to be on our platform.
Yeah. Right.
That's the view they take.
Maybe there's something else Alex Jones has said or done, but just having a viewpoint on the Sandy Hook thing,
oh, it's more
does
than
that qualify as hate?
No, it's more than that. I don't follow him, but I know he's had a lot of controversial views. But here's the thing. Now, I have no idea. I'm not a lawyer. I have no idea what a lawsuit, you know, how it would end. I would
right.
think that most judges would side with private companies. But can you imagine if you want to get your opinion out and you are blocked from Facebook, Google searches, you can't sell your books on Amazon, and you can't do podcasts on Apple? you are essentially shut out of social media and the public square.
Yeah.
Because these four companies that I named, they're the gatekeepers mm-hmm. for almost everything public that goes on. You'd have to try to find a way to get your voice heard by going around them. I'm not sure that it's possible.
Here's what we'll move on to the next story, but I'm reading from Reuters news service. It says Facebook announced on Monday that it had removed four pages belonging to U.S. conspiracy theorist Alex Jones for, quote, repeatedly posting content over the past several days, end quote, that breaks its community standards. And here's what they said about that. Second paragraph in this story says, the company, that is Facebook, said it removed the pages, quote, for glorifying violence, which violates our graphic violence policy, and using dehumanizing language. Okay, that red flags go up for me right there. Right. Using dehumanizing language to describe people who are transgender, Muslims, and immigrants, which violates our hate speech policies, end of quote. So, yeah, when you get into if the left's going to define what dehumanizing language is, they're going to object to a lot of stuff. They're going to ban the use of.
Well, Apple spokesman talked about in a statement released today, says Apple does not tolerate hate speech. So we're very subjective here. And we have clear guidelines that creators and developers must follow to ensure we provide a safe environment for all of our users.
There you go again.
Now you're talking about podcasts. Now it'd be one thing if these people who don't feel safe aren't allowed to go into the grocery store. You got a bunch of thugs hanging outside saying, what are you doing coming in here?
Yeah.
Transgender person, illegal immigrant. What are you doing coming in here? That's different. We're talking about what is a safe environment when you're talking about ideas, people using ideas. I would think that if you don't like Alex Jones, you don't download his podcast. How does the fact that it actually is on Apple's site make you feel less safe?
And you can ban it. If you're a user on Facebook, well, first, if you're on iTunes, you just don't download the podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not like this content is being forced upon you. And then if you're on YouTube or Facebook, you just ban them. All the liberals can ban Alex Jones, and they'll never see his content.
Well, I just go back to what I was talking about a few moments ago. There's a whole redefinition of what constitutes safe.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
We're not talking about physical violence anymore.
Right.
We're talking about, I feel offended, therefore I feel unsafe, and I'm being bullied because of what you said.
Even if I don't hear it, that's the thing.
Yeah, this is mostly to promote the LGBTQ movement and to punish those who think that behavior is immoral.
And I would add illegal immigrants and Muslims. Mm-hmm. I think those are the big three.
Yeah,
for the progressive left.
Yep.
You're saying stuff about, now again, I don't know what Alex Jones is saying. Some of his stuff may be beyond the pale. I might go, listen, I don't like that. That's wrong. But like to Walker's point, it's not illegal, and it's not calling for people to be harmed. Mm-hmm. So
right,
I think they should let him stay up. Mm-hmm. I think they should let Louis Farrakhan stay up. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what free speech is all about. Even though these are not government agencies, I know that, but they control the public sphere.
All right, good point, Brother Ed. Preach it.
I'm fired up. I've had some Diet Coke this morning. Don't turn me loose.
Okay, we're going to take a time out right here. When we get back, notice a sports metaphor as we look forward to football season.
Red Sox swept the Yankees, just saying.
Okay. That's hate speech right there, Ed. And I therefore ban you from talking about that. We'll be back. We got some great news about the Truth for Youth Bible campaign this year. We'll talk about that momentarily. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Frank Turek of Cross Examined.
We're covering questions that people have asked for centuries, not just that people are asking on Snapchat today or dealing with current events. We're dealing with issues that are thousands of years old.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
You know, people often ask me, Tim, what's your favorite part of the Holy Land Tour? I've been leading Holy Land Tours for many years now. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, I learned how to lead these Israel tours from my dad, who started doing them in the 60s. And then he taught me in the 80s and 90s. And now my wife Allison and I lead these tours annually to Israel. And we love going because we love seeing people's eyes when they see things such as the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River and the Garden Tomb and the Wailing Wall. See all these things for the first time and maybe the last time in many folks' lives, because this is a bucket list trip. We're going to be going in March. If you want a brochure sent to your mailbox, give us a call at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and we'll send you a brochure. If you want to go to the website, everything's there, twholyland.com, twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. I first told you about Army Chaplain Scott Squires in April. Chaplain Squires is based at Fort Bragg in North Carolina. He's endorsed by the Southern Baptist Convention. As such, he is not allowed under the policies of his endorser from hosting or leading marriage conferences with same-sex couples. He stands accused of discrimination based on sexual orientation. And the investigator in charge is now recommending Chaplain Squires be charged with dereliction of duty, a charge punishable by court-martial or prison. You can read the military's findings at toddstarnes.com. First Liberty Institute is representing Chaplain Squires. They say it's unthinkable that a chaplain could be punished simply for following the tenets of his religious beliefs. By the way, that marriage conference was rescheduled with another chaplain, but the same-sex couple, they chose not to attend. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We got some great news to share with you in just a minute, but I want to encourage you to send us an email if you'd like to at comments@afr.net. We always like to hear from folks who listen to the show or listen to AFR and know what's on your mind, what you appreciate about our programming here. American Family Radio, we have 183 radio stations across the country, and then we have thousands of people who listen via the internet or on our podcast or on our app. We have an app that's free to download. It takes you about 60 seconds to download it with high-speed internet, and then you can listen to AFR anywhere in the world on your phone or your iPad or similar type device. So check that out. Some of you may have wondered, what happened to Ray Pritchard? Well, we've been wondering the same thing, quite frankly. No, Ray is... Is he on this week?
No. I think the 10th or something is the first day he's back.
Ray's a very sensitive fella and got his feelings hurt about something I said to him one day here on the show. And so we're trying to get him back, but he's very, very tender feelings. So it was, no, I'm just kidding. Ray is traveling the country, speaking at Bible conferences, teaching the Word of God. And he does that in the summer. So that makes him have to be away from this show for a few weeks. So,
and you know, he acts like that's all, you know, his calling and wherever God sends him. But it's funny, God always sends him up north to teach the Bible during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah, he's called to
during
Oregon.
During the winter, he's called to Florida.
In the winter, he's called to Florida. Yeah, I don't know.
We'll ask him about that when he comes back on.
The
14th, Brent Creeley said.
That'll hurt his feelings more if you get into that, accusing him of following the Lord.
Listen, I'm one of his biggest fans.
It's weather convenient.
He's a fantastic Bible teacher and a wonderful man of God.
May the Lord bless our brother Ray as he travels the country teaching. Hey, speaking of people who travel the country teaching the Word of God, our good friend Tim Todd is back in studio with us. Good morning, Tim.
Good to be here, Tim.
Revival Fires is your ministry, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, you're based out of West Monroe.
That's correct.
But how long you've been in the traveling evangelist ministry now?
I've been on the evangelistic field now for a little over 31 years.
31 years. And so are you, do you have more miles on American or United or?
Delta.
Oh, it's Delta?
Yes.
You very familiar with the Delta, the Atlanta airport? That's just like your second home?
Yes, I
home?
Am. That's, it sure is.
Alex McFarland, we asked him about that one time because he's like you. Alex travels the country all the time speaking. And he says he lives in Charlotte, but he says he flies Delta. And he says they in Atlanta, they know him when he gets off the plane. Huh? All the people know him when he gets out. Hey, Brother Alex, they all know him because he travels so much to the Atlanta airport.
And he'll tell all sorts of people about Jesus, too.
Mm-hmm. So. Amen. Yes. As does our Brother Tim.
Right, yes, that's right.
Brother Tim here. Tim, we've been working together with you for how many years now?
17 years. This is our 18th year.
And what it's a week we always look forward to. It's called the Truth for Youth Bible campaign, and we promote this AFA and AFR and Revival Fires. We all work together. Now, the essence of this is that Revival Fires, your ministry, travels the country, and during the year you take up offerings, and the offerings go to buy Bibles, which are given away during this week to teenagers all across America who are willing to give them to other teenagers who don't know Christ and hopefully leading them to the Lord. That's the program in a nutshell, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so that we're not here to take up an offering or a collection or ask people for money this week. We're just asking them to help us get the Word of God out to teenagers all across America. Boy, this is so exciting. We've been doing this 18 years now. It's hard to believe, 18 years now. Now, how many Bibles over those years have we been able to work together to distribute?
Tim, over the past 17 years, now starting the 18th year, we've been able to give away 918,000 Truth for Youth Bibles to young people who gave them to their friends in school that are not saved.
That's we're amazing. Nearing a million.
Yes.
Right. We're 82,000 Bibles away from a million.
Yes.
That's good with math.
Yes,
don't
he
try
is.
To, don't try to get something.
I've been thinking. I've been adding that up in my head since you did devotions this morning. I just finally cracked the code there. But
you know, this is such a wonderful thing to do because, Tim, the Bibles that we have, they're called Truth for Youth. Describe those. Those Bibles. They're Psalms and Proverbs, and they're the New Testament. True?
It's the New Testament, and then there are...
Where are the Psalms and Proverbs?
No, they're not in there.
You took them out?
No,
Tim?
We never had them in.
I don't remember voting on that. It's the New Testament.
Yes.
It's hard to get the whole Bible. It would be in... I mean, we would love to, but it's... But you get the New Testament
into
the hands.
That's correct.
These kids. With these...
comic stories, graphic novels.
Right, that relate to kids' problems and issues that teenagers deal with today.
That's at the front of the Bible.
Yes.
How many pages?
120 pages, full-color comic stories that deal with the truth about things that like drugs, drunkenness, peer pressure, pornography, sexual purity, homosexuality. We deal with abortion. We deal with school violence, evolution, cutting, sexting, bullying, suicide, honor, pluralism, and the list goes on and on. Anything that young people are up against, it is a phenomenal opportunity for young people to get the Word of God into the hands of their friends.
I'll tell you what, it sounds like it was a God idea because you hand a teenager a Bible Okay, thank you. You hand him a Bible with a bunch of color, well-done comics at the beginning. And we say comics, this is not Richie Rich and right. Archie and Jughead. This is serious stuff, but it's comic strip, like a comic book. And they're going to start reading that. And they're going to start going through those. Then they kind of get interested in what's in the rest of the book,
okay,
the Bible.
Let's tell folks what we're asking them to do today. And then I want you to give a couple of examples of how these books have reached teenagers. But, I mean, the Bibles, the Truth Feed Bibles, they're not just books. But what are we asking folks to do?
We're asking young people, and, of course, parents and grandparents can call on behalf of their children and grandchildren, to get one Bible per teenager per household. So that means if you've got three teenagers, you can get three Truth for Youth Bibles for those teenagers that will commit to give them to their friends in school that are not serving the Lord. They get the Bible in the mail, and then they take the Bible to school and then give it away in school.
All right. Is that simple?
Yes.
What do they need? What's the phone number?
They can call 800-733-4737. That number is 800-733-4737, or go to truthforyouth.com.
Now, does that phone go to your offices
yes,
in West Monroe, Louisiana?
Yes, we have okay. people sitting there to answer the phones, and if they call and the line is busy, then call back.
So one free one per a teenager, and you can be a grandparent or parent in order on behalf of, but all your teenager needs to do is commit to giving these Bibles away to a fellow teenager who does not know Christ.
That's right.
Now, has this had an impact?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Tim. I mean, it's amazing to see what God has done. I shared in devotion this morning about a young lady in the Dallas area that got a copy of the Truth for Youth Bible from the American Family Radio Project, and she didn't know who she was going to give it to. At the same time frame, there was a young lady in her school that was not serving God. She was basically raising her mom. Her mom was addicted to drugs and alcohol and just really living her life was all messed up. And this young lady was just at the end of her rope, having to be the adult of her family. And she said, if somebody doesn't tell me they love me today, I'm going to take my life and commit suicide. She went to school that day, and this young lady that had got a Truth for Youth Bible on the American Family Radio Project, she walked by this young lady in the hallway. She saw her, and she felt compelled to give that Bible to her. She walked up, and she said, I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you, and I want to give this Bible to you. That young lady burst into tears, and in the hallway of her school, gave her life to the Lord and got saved. So instead of committing suicide that day, Tim, she gave her life to the Lord and got saved. That's what this Bible project is all about.
Truth for Youth Bible Campaign Week. You're going to be hearing about this all week here on American Family Radio. And we normally are able to get out approximately 60,000.
Right.
We hope to have our record
yes.
this year.
Yes.
Maybe even, but this is so exciting because the Bible says that the Word of God doesn't return void when it's sent mm-hmm. out. So you get the truth of the truth for youth, the truth of God's Word into the hands of young people. It changes their lives for eternity as one example, just
yes.
one example.
You know, you see, we've had drug dealers get saved. We've had gang members get saved. And you see all of the violence in our schools right now. Mm-hmm. There's no telling, in my opinion, how much more violence there would have been if some of these young people that have received these Bibles had not received their Bible. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we need to continue to shine light in the darkness. And I believe God has given us the fruit as a result of what God is doing through this.
Well, and I'll tell you something else, too, is it gets Christian young people motivated to do something.
Yes.
Now, it can be very intimidating in a large school and a small school to get out there and get involved. But this is the perfect introduction to witnessing because you have this Bible and you say, listen, I've been praying. You go up to somebody, a young person, I just feel like God wants me to give this to you, and I just want to talk to you about the Lord. So it gets Christian young people out there and involved as well. So, I mean, this is just a magnificent tool, and I just encourage young people who are out there who are listening and maybe are a parent or grandparent, and you know your child or your grandchild loves Jesus and has concern, get a copy of this Bible. And we always have, every time we do this, we always have youth pastors and we have families that'll buy a box of these too and just say, give them out. Give them out to your entire youth group or give them out to...
Because you get them for cost.
Yes.
If you want one free, but beyond that, you get them for cost.
That's right.
How much are they?
If you get 50 or more, they're $2 each. That's what I pay for them.
Dynamite.
And so it's a great project for Bible clubs, youth groups, and now with the wristbands. That is a powerful thing.
One question we often get, Tim, is, you know, because you hear so many legal cases today, and a parent or a grandparent who's listening right now may have a question. Will my grandchild get in trouble for distributing a Bible at school?
You have an answer. As long as they don't do it with Alex Jones, I think you'll be okay.
And, of course, we have the students' legal rights on public school campuses on the back cover of the Bible, and we put number 4 in bold because it lets our young people know that they do legally have the right to give Bibles away on campus during non-instructional time. And so we encourage the young people to stand up with their legal right to give Bibles away in school. And I believe that if we want to stop the violence and stop the things that are going on in our schools, we've got to shine the light of the gospel in the schools, and it is legal for the young people to do it.
What's the phone number and the website to order the Bibles?
It's 800-733-4737. That number again is 800-733-4737, and the website is truthforyouth.com.
I got to ask you one other question. You've traveled so much over your career. Do you often go one place one night, one place the next night?
Often we do that. More often what we do is I'm preaching revival services Sunday morning through Wednesday night, and I'm in the same location for several services.
Okay. All right. Thank you. What's the worst food you ever had at a church
leeks.
Cookout?
Huh? Leeks. Have you ever had leeks?
L-E-E-K-S?
Yes.
That's in the book of Exodus.
That's what the Jews ate in Egypt.
Yeah, exactly. Leeks, well, that's what I was going to say.
Like gizzards?
I'm telling you. It's a nasty food, to be quite honest. And I'll tell you what is it?
It's
kind of like a vegetable type of a thing, and I had it actually while I was preaching a crusade a few weeks ago in Australia, and so all of the food over there was fantastic,
right?
Until we got to the leeks. And it was nothing to write home
to
mom
about.
Did you
know what you were eating?
At the time, I really didn't. And whenever I tasted it, I had to ask what it was.
Well, I'm just going to tell you what I was told when I married a Mississippi girl. I'm a Yankee, okay, from the Boston area. And somebody wanted to give me turnip greens. And I said, they don't taste good. And they always told me, you just hadn't had them fixed right. So perhaps, brother, you'd like leeks, you just hadn't had them fixed right.
Yes, I'll take their word for that.
Where is that in the Bible?
The book of Exodus.
The Jews, when God allowed them to escape, pretty soon when they got on the other side of the Red Sea, we want to go back to Egypt because we miss our leeks and we miss our
11.
Onions. Yeah,
read Numbers chapter 11.
They love their leeks.
Well, I'm reading through my wife and I, we're going through the Old Testament now. We're in the Deuteronomy 5 or 6, so I've been through Exodus, but that was what they were wanting to go back to?
Yeah, well, Numbers chapter 11,
and it says the foreigners came into the camp, and they started craving other foods, and then they said meats, garlics, onions, beets, and leeks.
Okay, so what you're saying, what you're saying, Tim, is if had you been one of the children of Israel, that you wouldn't have gone back for leeks.
That's right, exactly.
There'd been maybe something else you'd have wanted to go back to Egypt for, but
the
not
onions.
Leeks, right?
That's right, that's right.
All right, thank you, Tim.
You're welcome, appreciate Tim. It. God bless you, and appreciate your partnership to help us get the Word of God into the hands of young people.
And we're going to be checking in with you throughout the week to see how we're doing.
Amen.
All right, amen. All right, thank you very much. Tim Todd joining us there from Revival Fires Ministry, based out of West Monroe, Louisiana. You're listening to the radio program today's issue. So did you ever develop a taste for turnip greens?
No. I haven't.
What?
They're turnip too bitter.
Greens are, well, they're kind of benign.
Well, I always thought they were kind of bitter tasting.
Now, your collard greens are bitter, but turnip greens have a pretty good taste to them, in my opinion. But
well, and here's the thing. I like, for example, I like spinach if it's raw. I don't like it cooked. So it may just be the texture as well as the taste.
Yeah.
And I just never. My wife loves them.
Oh, yeah.
My kids love them.
You boiled peanuts. You apply enough butter and salt and pepper to anything, you can eat it.
Even leaves?
Leeks. Yeah.
Leeks, or whatever you call them.
You know, to get back on topic here.
never got off topic, Walker.
The truth
I don't know where,
for youth
what
Bible,
show you're listening to.
The Truth for Youth Bible, we left out a key part here, and that is that you, with the Truth for Youth Bible, you get a number 6 wristband.
Hashtag number 6.
And the hashtag number 6 wristband.
That's true. Good point.
Is a product of the American Family Association, and it's citing the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder, because we got a lot of death and very graphic stuff going on in front of our kids.
Well, school shootings.
Right.
You know, after school shootings, like in Florida, you know, why don't you ever hear the, instead of just saying gun control this, gun control that, why don't you teach the kids that thou shalt not murder?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you teach them the sixth commandment? Huh? Value human life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Why is that so hard?
Yeah.
You know, and every religion in the world, well, I don't know about that, but I mean, this is not controversial. That is the idea that you shouldn't murder other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it comes from the scripture, thou shalt not murder, the sixth commandment, as you mm-hmm. cite, Walker. So, we have a wristband that we developed. It says hashtag number 6. That is a great conversation starter.
Mm. Right.
That young people, or adults for that matter, but young people in this case, can wear. And we're sending those wristbands when you order the Bible. So you get one wristband with one Bible, right?
That's right.
And listen, this is kind of like we do a lot of these wristbands because they are great conversation starters. We do things at Christmas and so on and so forth. But hashtag number 6 is meant to be given away. And they're not, if you want to buy more, you can. You go to afastore.net. But it's a conversation starter. You start talking to people about the value of human life. It's not thou shalt not murder just because God likes to, you know, cramp our style. It's because God created us in His image. And when people start to recognize that and embrace that, then you start thinking about how I can love my neighbor. So if that starts a conversation, that hashtag number 6, give that away to somebody and get you some more.
All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred, what's the next story?
Well, I'll tell you, talking about Truth for Youth Bibles and the wristband, talking about the Sixth Commandment, they could use a lot of these in the Chicago area. Just another horrific weekend in Chicago. We had 63 shootings. 10 people are dead
over the weekend?
Just over the weekend.
It's a war zone there.
You know, and people, well, you know, it happens. No, it happens sadly every weekend, but this has been a horrific weekend in Chicago.
Even by Chicago standards.
Even by Chicago standards. And some of the, there's going to be a news conference coming up very shortly in Chicago, but some of the comments that have come from officials this morning is the shootings now are not, it appears some of the shootings at least are not targeted anymore. These are people just with guns going out and shooting randomly into crowds. Like they don't care. They don't know who's getting hit with these bullets. They're just shooting people. Now this is a spiritual vacuum thing that's going on. Of course, it's not being addressed. Chicago has all kinds of gun laws. Illinois has all kinds of gun laws. But as we've seen over and over and over again, is that it's a heart problem. And that's what's going on in Chicago. And the officials so far in Chicago, Mayor Rahm Emanuel and others, they're not recognizing it as such. In fact, the police department apparently put out a press release, I'm not sure if it was last night, saying, well, it's not as bad as last year. The number of murders last year were 30% more than where we are now. This is after a weekend of 10 people being murdered and 53 others wounded. Yes, the solution for Chicago is a spiritual revival. That's the only thing that's going to stop this.
Right.
It's horrible. What's going
Where is this happening in Chicago? Is it happening in one or two areas of town? Do you know? Because Chicago's a big place.
Chicago, it
Or should I be worried to go anywhere in Chicago?
I wouldn't go anywhere.
Well, I'll give it to you for those who may know where Chicago is. The violence has spilled over into Monday morning this morning, including a murder that happened just after midnight in the Roseland neighborhood, not far from Chicago State University.
The city's being run by gangs and drug cartels and thugs because the police, the city's run by lefties. Mm-hmm. Lefties hate police, and they're always guilty. And so you have a crippled police department, and a very hands-off approach. They're writing traffic citations and responding to dead people on the sidewalk who've been shot. But other than that, they're probably not doing much proactive policing. And this is what you have. This is a result. This is a result of broken families, broken homes, and lefty policies.
You're listening. Is it mostly in the African American community? Do you know?
Well, in the past, that has been the case, but I can't say for this weekend. But in the past, I've heard the south side of Chicago in particular is a bad area. And a lot of it is black-on-black crime.
That's what I wondered, if it's drug-related, gang-related,
yeah,
those kinds of things, which is...
Well, and to Fred's point, let me just make this one other comment. We can move on if we want. But, you know, our founding fathers understood that our Constitution and our form of government was only viable if you have a moral and religious people, okay? In other words, you have to restrain yourself because, as Fred pointed out, you got all kinds of gun laws in Chicago and in Illinois and some of these blue states, but you're going about it the wrong way. You can never have enough laws to restrain outward activity if hearts are rebellious against God. Mm-hmm. If hearts are lawless, you have to have a dictatorship to try to suppress crime. And what has happened is we have a free society with hearts that are lawless, and that's why you're getting lawless behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the government in many ways has destroyed the black family.
Yeah.
All right. Fatherlessness is 72. The children born outside of wedlock in African-American homes are 72-73%.
That's right.
So if you have children in mass being raised without their daddies at home, instructing them on right from wrong, especially young boys.
Right.
Especially young boys. Then if you get a generation or two or three or four or five of that happening, which is what we have now since the 60s, since the massive government welfare programs came along. It's, you know, I don't know how you're going to reverse this unless you have a movement from within the African American community itself to say, hey, we've got to reverse this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that would hold true. I think the out of wedlock percentage in whites is 40%,
but it's growing.
Yeah,
it's growing.
Yeah,
but same.
Yes, and if you have, this would be true. That is fatherlessness and its impact on children, which grow up to be involved in illicit behavior or gangs because they don't have a daddy at home helping the mom.
Right.
It would be true of any race. It has nothing to do with the race per se. It's the impact of that on. And in this case, the African American community, and we just all pray and that would reverse itself, and there would be a call within the African American community itself to change course,
right?
You know, to bring back daddies to their homes and being responsible for their children. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.